Good. Well, it's fantastic to be here for the first time in 6 months. I was just sitting over there reflecting. The fact that I was sitting doing nothing was quite unusual, because those first few weeks we were leading and preaching and running the cameras and the computers and the words and everything between the three of us. Gradually we've added more and more team, and I was just looking around thinking, it's nice to be doing what we are gifted to do, not the things that we have to quickly learn that we've never done before. So I just want to be thankful at this point to, well, particularly to Richard, who that first week we were online. We ran everything off his iPhone, including using his data, because the internet here wasn't fast enough at that stage. So, we were, between me, Sarah, and Richard, learning to pan cameras and setting up all that stuff. So thank you to Richard, and thank you to the tech guys who over the last few weeks have been, we've gradually been integrating them, so we have to do less and less, which is fantastic. And well done, guys, and hopefully we're getting better and better at it. And we'll see how it goes out this morning when we're doing two things at once in the room and out there. It's great to have you out there. I'm going to walk close to this camera so people can see. Sorry, shouldn't be so close to you guys. It's great to have you there. And we are praying, and we have been praying this morning, that you are experiencing the presence of God in the same way that we're experiencing the presence of God here. And I know, you know, I've been watching the people in the room as they worship and really hearing and knowing God this morning. And our prayer is that you don't feel isolated in that, but that you're part of us as we worship God together. And our voices are rising. You have an advantage at home. You're allowed to sing. So our voices are rising together in worship to God. Great. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. This is the story of Joseph. And if you've watched, the musical or whatever, you'll know the story. But I just want to read some of the first parts of it, and hopefully it will come on the screen as I read. So Genesis 37, I'm going to start at verse 2. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father and loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. "Listen to this dream," he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So do you think you will be our king? Do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. I'm going to miss out the next bit, but he had another dream, similar one to that. And then we're going to read from verse 18. Jacob sent Joseph to bring food and stuff to his brothers. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance as he approached. They made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard of their schemes, he came to Joseph's rescue. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into the empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him." Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him in the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What would we gain by killing our brother, which we would have to cover up a crime? Instead of hurting, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. I'm going to stop there, but as you know, they sold him and off he went to Egypt, and all of that continued. It's really interesting. Mary Jane read right at the beginning, Psalm 139. "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know me." And I'm going to refer to that later on, but it just tells me that God knows. God knows what he's talking to us about this morning. And I want to challenge you this morning that we in a sense have become independent in our walk with God because of the circumstances of the last few months. Well, together this morning, we can hear God's voice together. This week, in fact, Mary Jane mentioned before, she couldn't see. Well, I can see the screen back there and the writing, but I can't see close. In fact, earlier this week, I had to ask Mary Jane. I was trying to read the writing on this light bulb to see what power it was, because I needed a more powerful one, and I didn't know what to order. And there is no way that I can read that. My arms are not long enough. I need a new pair of glasses, so I booked myself an eye test this week. But as I was reflecting on that, I was just thinking about the fact that your eyesight deteriorates without you noticing. And then suddenly you realize, I cannot see to read at the moment. And that's the way I am at the moment. My eyesight, I'm long-sighted, so I can't see the close stuff. I can see the distance, so that's perfectly fine. I can see the writing on the screen at the back. But at the moment, if you notice, I've got this big Bible. It's got large print because I can't see it without. So I've got an eye test in a couple of weeks' time. You have to wait for them these days, don't you? And hopefully I'll get some glasses that will enable me to see what I'm reading. But, you know, the nature of the deterioration of eyesight is that it's slow. And it's gradual normally. Normally you don't notice it happening until you suddenly realize you're not able to read something that you used to be able to read, or see something that you used to be able to see. I'm just trying to imagine trying to thread a needle. I used to be very good at threading a needle. I know that I wouldn't even be able to see the hole right now if I was trying to thread a needle. And that's true of many things in life. Stuff happens gradually that we don't notice. Stuff changes occur and we don't see them happening, and then suddenly we recognize that there's this change, because we recognize that things are different than they were. And it's true as often as well in our spiritual walk, our walk with God. And so this morning I want to bring you three changes that occur which are negative, and I also want to talk to you about three good habits that can create growth within us, that create good gradual changes. And you know, in one sense, either things are getting worse or getting better. We were looking around earlier with the Matchams over there, that they haven't been to church for 6 months. They must be backsliders. Well, none of us have been to church, have we? But here's the moment in our lives in this 6 months. For some people it's been a real struggle for their walk with God. For others, it's been fantastic because they've had so much time to spend with God, and they've grown and they've developed. And actually, if we've been in that case, we need to hold on to it and we need to keep doing the things. Even though things are getting back to normal-ish, we should not get back to that place where we decline in our walk with God. We may have been the opposite. We may have really struggled. Some people have really struggled during this period of time. Well, if that's the case, let's challenge ourselves this morning. You know, let's make a test. Let's examine our heart. As David said, "Oh Lord, examine me." Well, let's say to God this morning, "God, would you shine a spotlight? Would you show me the areas of my life that either they need to change because I've deteriorated, I can't see properly anymore, or the areas where I've developed and I've grown, and how can I keep growing in those things? So the first thing I want to point out this morning, the danger of sliding into sin. How easy to slide into sin. Noticing. I read that passage there from Genesis, in the life of Joseph this morning, because for me that's a great example, because those brothers did not, decide, oh, we'll kill our brother, oh, we won't, we'll sell him to slavery, just like that. It wasn't on a whim, it was a gradual thing. They were, first of all, they were jealous, because their brother had got a fancy coat made up just for him. His father clearly showed him favoritism. There's not in a sense, they're perfectly justified. There's not you can't blame them for being jealous or being upset when their brother was being treated differently than they were. When what's happening is they're getting the short end of the stick, as it were. But that develops into bitterness and anger. And we read that they were angry with me and then with him, and then they grew to hate him. And ultimately the response was they were ready to kill him. Some of them, one of them saved him. But the result in the end was the end result was God's plan. But here's the thing. They didn't just decide to kill their brother or sell him into slavery on a whim. It was a gradual thing, and gradually they fell into a place of that sin, and how easy it is for that to happen to us. Our high ideals disappear without us noticing. The fact that we wanted to please God and do everything to please him, but something comes and bad habits appear, and gradually small compromises lead to bigger and bigger compromises. How easy it is for us to start watching something on TV and we get into it, and then stuff starts to be on it that we would not have ordinarily watched or listened to. But because we're into the story and because we've been watching and hearing, we stick with it. I was hearing, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that song Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison in 1967, when it was released. The BBC had a debate about whether they should play it or not because it was too racy. And then I remembered that a few years ago at our fun day, we played that as a band together. We did change the words, but... But I thought how easy it is for us to slip into compromise. How much has our society changed that is the attitude that we now have that we once did not have. You'll all be going to look at the words later to see what it is that the BBC considered so racy. How easy for us to slide into sin without noticing, to make small compromises, and it leads to greater and greater. The second thing that I want to, a danger that we can fall into gradually without noticing, is the danger of apathy. Revelation 2 is the message Jesus speaks to John, and John writes it down in Revelation. And in those early chapters, it's messages to churches, and the message to Ephesus, Paul says this: I have this complaint against me. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. They'd lost their first love. Their first love for Jesus was gone. Their first love for others was gone. How easy it is for that to happen. You know, it's almost inevitable. Over time, our energy for something dissipates. When we're first doing something, you go to the gym, and the first few weeks you're really into it, and then gradually your energy dissipates, and you have to motivate yourself. You have to do something to keep yourself going, or you take somebody with you who's going to motivate yourself to do it. Ellis was talking about this the other day. His Lib's brother wanted to go to the gym, so the two of them went together to motivate one another. I've noticed in our house, we have the hamster Caramel. When we first had him, his cage would get cleaned out probably every week. maybe every 8 or 10 days, something like that. Now, the cage only gets cleaned out when it starts to smell, which is about 3 weeks, I reckon. By the way, I have no responsibility for the hamster. I said when we got the hamster, you have to look after it yourselves, I'm doing nothing. Although I do find myself giving him water and food quite often because the water's running low and I think if he doesn't get it, he'll die. So I do enough to keep him alive. But I've never yet emptied his, cleaned his cage out. That's somebody else's job. But the energy has dissipated. How easy for us for the energy to dissipate. We lose our love for God. We lose our love for one another. And in one sense, that's inevitable. Relationships happen like that. Things develop that way. But there comes a point in a relationship where you have to stir it up, where you have to do something to cause love to rise again. And also, you have to make love a habit rather than a emotional response. And so, we have to be careful that we don't slide into apathy, that we settle for less and less each time. The third thing, and I've just called this the danger of sliding into prayerlessness, but I don't want you to think that that means prayer, as in giving a list of things to God. It's actually, prayer is our communion with Him. It's our relationship with Him. It's our talking to Him. And so it's more than just coming and praying a list, but it's living in communion with Him day by day, talking to Him, spending time in His presence, communion with God. You know, in a relationship, communication is the key to good health. Whatever relationship that is, if you want to keep a relationship healthy, you have to keep communicating with one another. And Satan wants to stop our communication with God, and he wants to distract us from that. And I can give you lists of ways in which he's going to distract you. I'm not going to spend much time on that this morning, but you'll know what it is, how easy it is to miss a quiet time or whatever. The phone rings or a text arrived or, you know, all of that stuff. You know, holidays always disrupt my relationship with God, because I've got good habits normally. Normally I arrive in the office on a morning and I go to the coffee machine, put coffee on, sit down in my easy chair, open my Bible, read my Bible, and spend half an hour or more just there before I go to my desk, before I do any work. That's my habit. And I go on holiday and it all goes to pot, and I find I get 5 or 6 days behind my reading plan because I've missed time, and that's what happens. And we need to develop habits that keep good our relationship good. I'm already moving on before finishing this point. Let's be careful that our relationship with God doesn't slip. And that's been particularly difficult or easy at this time. If you've been on lockdown, you might have been at home and you've had all day to do that stuff and it's been brilliant. Well, you might be going back to normal now and it'll get disrupted. Or it might be the other way around. Whatever it means, we need to be constantly changing, developing habits that keep us in our place with God as we should be all the time. Happily, the opposite of the gradual decline that I've been talking about is gradual growth. Growth rarely happens suddenly. Growth normally happens slowly so that you're unable to notice it. And you'll know if you are a child or if you're an adult. If you're a child, people who haven't seen you for a while look at you and say, "My, haven't you grown?" Or if you're an adult and you've seen somebody seen a child, suddenly they look bigger, because that growth, although if you're with someone every day, is gradual. If you see somebody after a long time, you see it. We all know that phenomenon. And so we need to create good habits in our life that enable gradual growth. I want to be in a place where my spiritual walk with God is always growing, is always getting stronger and greater, and therefore I need to develop habits that cause growth. If you look back at where you were 10 years ago in your spiritual walk with God, you're probably a lot further on now. Growth has happened and you didn't notice it. And probably others see that even more than you. So three good habits. The first is this: keep short accounts with God. If the danger is falling into sin, then the good habit is to deal with that sin. Keep a short account. Confess your sins to God. Keep doing it, because that's how we keep it in front of us. That's how we break those bad habits, by developing good habits. Develop a habit of repenting daily, saying, God, forgive me. And like David, like we heard earlier, examine my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. That's one of the reasons we break bread together. It reminds us of the covenant Jesus made, that we can be forgiven, that we can be cleansed. Ask God to show you what needs to change. Ask God to show you. Make that a habit. Saying what David said, see if there be any wicked way in me. The second good habit is that we need to develop spiritual disciplines. I don't know what that means for you, and I don't have time this morning to go through the many, many, many spiritual disciplines there are, but prayer and fasting and reading your Bible and worship, and there are many things, and from different church traditions, and depending on your personality, you need to discover what it is that leads you to have a good spiritual discipline, good relationship with God. What keeps you growing? And for me, you know, I regularly read the Bible. Walking for me is being outdoors, and being in that environment is a place for me to commune with God, whatever it might be. Whatever habit it is that causes you to grow, you need to find it and develop it and keep doing it, because then we'll see that gradual growth. Find what works for you. The third habit, I've just written down here, create a habit of communication. At home, we nearly always sit down at the dining table to eat our meals together. And that results in communication. We're sitting there, there's no other distractions, and we talk to one another. Sometimes we argue with one another. That is communication. It may not be good communication, but it is communication. But we sit at the table together, and we talk about the day we've had. And the danger is that we go off and sit and put the TV on and eat, which we sometimes do, and then you're watching TV and not talking to one another. Well, that's our relationships at home. What about our relationship with God? Am I creating a habit that causes good communication with God? Am I creating a habit that is causing me to grow in my walk with Him? And it may be as simple as going to find a chair that you sit in, I've already mentioned. It may be as simple as having a place in our family relationship. It might be the dining table, but finding a place that is a place of communication. What simple habit can you create to enable good communication? How can you hear from God? Because most often we're good at talking at God. We're good at giving Him a list of requests or things that we want to hear, we want to God respond to, but actually, what is He saying to me? How can I hear His voice? I've already said every day I make a cup of coffee and I sit and read my Bible. What do you need to be doing? Maybe walk, maybe to sit, maybe to listen to worship. Probably most importantly, to turn off your phone. Make weekly habits, daily habits, weekly habits, monthly habits that you regularly do to cause you to grow in your relationship with God. Just as I finish now this morning. You know, the last few months, our lives have been disrupted completely. The regular habits, the regular things that we do, they've all been changed, not through anything of our own plan. And for some, that's meant our relationship with God has grown really quickly and well. For others, that's been really disruptive, and it's called us to stall. And if you're in the first group, make sure you maintain the habits that have enabled you. As we're gradually returning to normal-ish, don't lose the habits that you've gained. Don't lose the time spent with God that you've done over the last months. If you've been one of those that's been completely disrupted by this, today let this be the moment that you say, God, would you examine me? Would you show me what needs to change? Would you help me to develop these good habits? If you're in the place where you know your communication with God has gradually gone, or even that you've fallen into sin or whatever it might be, just be this morning, this afternoon, no, still this morning, saying to God, God, would you show me what needs to change in me? God, would you just forgive me and cleanse me and restore my relationship with you. So this week I tried to read the writing on that light bulb. You can come and have a look if you want and see how tiny it is. And I suddenly realized I need to go to the optician. Well, this morning maybe God's, you know, speaking to you out of that. You need to see him. You need to get some work done. You need to make some changes in your life. The great thing is, you don't need to put on a pair of glasses, get thicker lenses, spend some money to do it, because the gift from God is free. What he does for us doesn't cost us anything, except that we humble ourselves before him. We bow our knee and say, I don't want to be Lord of my life anymore. I want you to be Lord of my life. God, forgive us our sin. God, forgive us our apathy. God, forgive us our prayerlessness. Help us to create and sustain new habits that cause us to grow in you. Father, this morning we bow our knee before you and declare that you are Lord in our life. You are our King. We don't want to be people who are far from you. Father, we want our relationship with you to grow and grow more and more. Father, that we can look back and say, my, how I've grown. But it's because of what you've done in us. Father, I pray you'd help us. Father, I pray you'd just develop in us, help us to develop habits that grow, habits that make us greater than we are. Father, I pray you'd help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. Well, thank you very, very much for listening. We're going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing. Dave's going to lead us. Christ is my reward.